Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. All right. I pray that you've had a great night and a good morning. And that you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the revelation of the depth of this, your word, Father, and the truths, so that we can grow stronger each and every time we get into your word, Father, to be able to be that person that you want us to be and to do the work that you want us to do, Father. You know what you have planned for this day. You know what our part for this day should be. Guide us in that way, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing here with Hebrews, the 6th chapter. It's not a long chapter. In fact, it's a short one. It's 20 verses, but they're not real big verses, but they have a lot of meaning to them. Here in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now here in this verse 1, he's talking about us going on to perfection. In other words, that we can grow in maturity. And I'm going to add these next two verses because they are following this meaning. Two. One, he left off by and faith toward God of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, you see, we as the readers here are encouraged to go on to maturity. That's what he meant by perfection. By leaving the elementary teaching of the word. He's using this word perfection that has both an absolute and a relative sense. Its relative sense involves maturity is expressed here. The six representatives doctrines listed here involve three sets. The elementary teaching concerning conversion itself, the post-conversion experience and teaching on last things. The eschatology is included here among the first fruits of the first truth, rather than as deeper truths. A mere study of last things does not demonstrate spiritual maturity. The practical changes these eschatological truths produce, the manifest maturity. And you see, in other words, what it breaks down to is we are to go on in growing to the point that we come to a mature being in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going back on anything. We are continuing to go forward and upward in the Word of God. And as he tells us here in verse 4, he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. He said, this is impossible. These things that we're about to see. Here in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open chain. Now you see, actually, he's not telling you and I that we can fall away. He's telling us what would happen if we did. But you see, those are the children of God are not going to fall away. Because, you know, one of the most important points is that it agrees with the general parts of the scripture concerning the security of the born-again believer. One basis for the security of the believer involves the promise recorded in God's word. You see, you can go a lot of places to find out about that. And yet an even stronger basis for security is found within the nature of the new life God gives through conversion involves men's will. It is God's will that produces regeneration. Thus, salvation is infinitely more than a decision that one can make and then break. Because you see, it is the work of God that transforms one from darkness to light and from death to life, from a child of the devil to the son of God. It is a completed, regenerating work. You are saved, or you have been saved and stand saved. Once you have really been saved, you're not going to go back. You're not going to fall away and get back involved with Satan and this world. The Holy Spirit that has been given to us is not going to let us do these things to be lost. Because you see, God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our spiritual forefathers, his promise was that we could have salvation. And he don't lie. His word don't lie. And we are told that when we are born again, there is no way for you and I to fall away. Now, how could that be? No way for us to fall away when Satan did. Well, Satan was always trying to be better off than God. He was trying to put himself above God. But we're not. Now, you take, you're a born-again child of God. You go to 1 John in chapter 3, and let's begin here with verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy them. He's going to destroy God of the devil's work. Now, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, that seed, which is the Holy Spirit, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, once you have salvation, you're not going to lose it. Because for one, you're not going back into sin. The Holy Spirit is there to keep that from happening. He's not going to let you do it. He's going to be telling you, no, 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 you don't do that. That's wrong. That's sin. You can't do that no more. That's got to stop. It stopped when you received your salvation. You don't do that no more. Now, we know that it was said, for it was impossible for those who were once enlightened, had tasted of the heavenly gifts, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and had tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open chain. And you see, that's why that can't be done. We can't go to heaven and get the Lord Jesus Christ, bring him back to this earth in the flesh and re-crucify him. And that's what would have to be done. Once we put him on, once we go to him and repent and put our trust and our faith in him, and we are baptized and put on his death and his resurrection, his burial, and he comes into our life, and the Holy Spirit is given to us, we can't go back and redo all that again. And that's why he told us there in the first three verses about laying again the doctrine of those things. We can't do it. It can't be done again. We can't crucify him again. Now, that's God's word. That's not mine. That is God's word. And the last words of that verse is, and put him to an open chain. We can't. Verse 6 is, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open chain. Can't be done. 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. You see, everything that we have as his child comes from him. Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. You understand this? He's letting us know those that does not have salvation, what is going to happen to them. And if it would have been possible for you and I, once we had salvation, to fall away and go back into sin, as he calls it here, back into thorns and briars and all, they are rejected and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. Going to wind up in that lake of fire. Now, verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accomplish salvation, though we thus speak. Now, 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You hold on until the end. You continue doing your work for God until the end. In other words, until you're ready to step out of this life and over into eternity. 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, we are always to follow the word of God, walk in obedience unto him, and follow those that walk in faith, so that we have patience and inherit the promises. 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He obtained that promise. He's talking here about two immutable things. That is elements that cannot change. You see, first, God's promise is based on his own unchanging word. He cannot lie, nor will he allow his word to fail. And you see, his word was confirmed by an oath. And since he can swear by none greater, he swears by himself. And he rests his word on his holy character. Think about these things. Now, we have endured, he obtained the promise. 16. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, an end of all strife. Now, 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You see, he made that promise and did it by oath. And that oath is by and upon his own character. Now, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We flee from Satan and the things of this world and go to him. And we all know how to get there. We've been through that many times. That's through Jesus. Now, 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The author there, he uses three different pictures to demonstrate the security of being in Christ. First, he described as a safe retreat for the believer, as were the six cities of refuge in the Old Testament to those allowed their protection. And second, our hope is sure and steadfast, as is a well-pleased, unbending anchor. Think about these things. Our anchor is not located in the deepest sea, but in the highest heaven. And the third figure is that of a forerunner. Though the figure changes, the location does not. Our forerunner is likewise positioned in the sanctuary of heaven as our forerunner. And our forerunner is Jesus. And as our forerunner, Jesus is far different from the Old Testament priests in the sanctuary. They could intercede for the people, but they could not lead the people in themselves. As our forerunner, Jesus has opened the way before us, that eventually and certainly we might enter in with him. You see, we all, and everything we do is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We go through him to get to the Father. And the things that the Father wants us to have comes to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes through him. And is brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, I'm not going to go this morning into chapter 7 because we're going to be dealing with some other things that's going to take a little time. It's got 28 verses, but it's going to be dealing with the priestly order of Melchizedek and all of those things. So we're going to hold that, God willing, and be in that this evening at 6 p.m. And I pray that there'll be more on to hear the word than what we have right now. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the time that we can come together here in my home during these times, during the morning time of 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, during the evening at 6 to 7 Eastern time. Now, Father, be with us as we separate to go our different ways. Keep us through the day in health. Keep us safe. And Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for them to have peace because we know that rockets are coming in almost every day, Father, causing destruction and death. And Father, even more than them having peace, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours, Father, we pray for this land. It's brought so much evil upon its own people. Help us, Father, to replace the evil with good. And that our leaders, the leadership of our government and our churches be of those that are godly people of righteousness and all for you, and that will work with us to put our government back on the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, and putting back into every place he was taken out of. And then to other places he was not in, having everywhere. Father, bless us now. And bless this ministry, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. See you at 6 p.m. Bye-bye now.